Hello and welcome to the Arena Sports Show. My name is Chloe Grace Mfanza. Absolutely excited to be alongside you today while we celebrate a special episode. This is officially our 60th. So that means 3,600 minutes together where you've allowed us into your space, and we're absolutely grateful for that. And of course, also engaging in the content, also with the guests, and we'll get to go down memory lane in just a bit. But of course, alongside me is my favorite influencer, Mahlatsi Mphahlele. And while we decided that because this is a special episode, it's just the two of us, we don't need a third or a fourth wheel, we'll just do this one together. Influencer, how are you doing?
Right, where's the confetti?
Oh, listen, I was also expecting something, like, I'm so disappointed right now, but it's okay.
The show must go on,
we'll definitely get it right. But man, Influencer, 60 episodes, I don't know how many months it's been, but 3,600 minutes together. Well, it's actually more than that because we actually talk every day just to try and get and make, of course, just one episode and get it right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to block you now. it just talks to the lot of work that happens behind the scenes when nobody's watching. And 60 episodes, you know, a lot of hard work. A lot of drama behind the scenes.
A lot of fights also, to be honest with you. But he's always the calm one. I'll admit to that. It's just, you know, the passion of just trying to make everything come together. Yeah. And then he'd be like, Chloe, I get it.
Yeah. But because it's interesting that, you know, sometimes you don't see things the same. And, you know, you have got a way of how you want things to be done. And, you know, but we always find a way to find each other, but that's the fun of it. You know, nothing bad or anything like that. So I'm happy we're here. There's still more to come. And even if I say so myself, I think we've done some good work here. We've got some good guests. We've got did some good stuff, and you know, I'm quite happy we're here. You know, so long may it continue.
Long shall it continue, and may you, of course, continue to enjoy the journey with us. If you've just joined us, listen, hop on the ride. It promises to really get better. But, I mean, on that note, Influencer, who has... I know this is a tough one, right? Yeah. And the reason I say it's tough, because I was thinking about this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, having to choose among your children, this is how it feels, because literally all 60 episodes are like our babies, and we learned something from each of them, and it was either entertaining, or it was learning something, or it was, okay, we were getting it done, a bit of both. But if you had to pick some standout guests or moments, what would you pick?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, I've had lots of people here. But I must say, my favorite must be Tabi Mudale.
Oh my goodness.
We had him here just about a month ago or so. He was just a breath of fresh air, you know. He's actually funnier than his brother Eddie, who we also had here.
When I said that, you said you didn't know. I'm glad now you are sure.
But not only him. I think we had Victor Hlongwane here. I wasn't here for that one, but you know, obviously I saw the episode.
Yeah.
Also, you know, a funny guy. We also had Mpamakwela here, who said some outrageous things.
What do you mean outrageous things?
He was sued because of what he said here. We had Majenzi, you know, that one we had with him and Brajeri. Yeah. Brajeri was actually very shocked to find out that Majenzi does his nails. He said, Eddie, what's happening? You know, so yeah, there's been many. But if I were to choose, really choose one, that was the best. I think the one we did with them, Tabi Mudale, was the best. Yeah. His impersonation of Coach Pizzo.
Yes.
That famous thing that everybody also talk about Roger Fidumba at Sundowns.
Your favorite moment in football, I'm convinced.
You know, so yeah, lots of good stories, you know. So yeah, I'll go with my chance. I don't know about you, which one was the best for you.
I'm so impressed that you asked. It took us 60 episodes to get to this moment. You see? I love it.
Milestones.
Yeah, I know. Slow burners, what you are.
It takes a while, but we get there.
You get there eventually. Well, for me, man, goodness gracious. Really quite a lot, but I mean, from the top of my mind, I think also how we started off the show this season. I mean, this year it was quite special. We had Luyolo Mali, Deboho Letlaka joining us here, which was pretty dope. So getting into the minds of technocrats and analysts. I mean, we had Lindo Pep as well at some point join us on the show with the fans. Lady D was also a part of that conversation. So I really enjoyed that. It's always nice engaging with fans. Like, it brings in also a different breath of fresh air. My postman, the postman that always delivers, Aubrey Modiba.
And also, I was not here for that one. I think I was sick. I think I was sick or something. I can't remember.
It's
tough. You know me, when I travel, when I come back sick.
It's a sign. You should never travel. But I also enjoyed that conversation with him. Olam Lambo as well.
At the beginning there,
But he almost made me cry, though. I was just like, oh my goodness. It's just
talking
like
about his bromance with Coach Dan Malasela. Dan Malasela was also very good.
Oh, yes. Abo Bramovic. What was he saying about Bramovic?
He says, South Africans, when there's a, the surname is Vuvovic, you give him a job.
Man, it's been absolutely crazy, but a joyful ride it has been, and we're hoping that you enjoyed it as much as we did. But on that note, that means a lot also has been happening in the world of sports, right? So let's quickly find out what's been happening in your top stories.
Kevin Lerena has vowed to be an explosive worldwide machine when he bids to become the first South African in history to successfully defend a WBC world title in Pretoria on May 1 against Ukrainian challenger Shehi Radchenko. Former Olympic and world champion Caster Semenya believes 800-meter rising star Prudence Rodiso has got what it takes to succeed at the World Athletic Championships in Tokyo later this year. Sports Minister Gethin McKenzie on Monday announced a multi-million rand boost for professional boxing, pushing minimum purses for fighters from 4,000 to 20,000.
Definitely a lot's been happening, but all positive, and I love what Custer has to say. I mean, Prudence is doing so well. And one thing that stands out for me, she does it with elegance. And of course, she's looking good on track too, off track as well. So I love the balance that she really has there. And we're hoping that, of course, she continues, and we're wishing her all the best. On that note, we also have to find out then our stars of the week, people that have impressed us. Influencer, you can go first. Who has impressed you?
Before I talk about my star of the week, on the Caster Prudence thing, I was with Caster in Cape Town over the weekend, and she is saying,
I'm glad you're not sick.
Maybe Cape Town agrees with me. It's the problem is Durban.
Yeah, I've been saying, whoever you go with.
Yeah, so Caster is saying that obviously, you know, Prudence is there. There's been this talk about her being the new Caster and all the stuff. She's just building with people to allow the lady to become her own self.
Yeah.
And also not to put too much pressure, because the journey ahead is going to be very difficult. To win a world championship gold medal is not easy. Mm-hmm. To win an Olympic gold is not easy. But she's got what it takes to go there and do her stuff. And also Caster spoke about the fact that she's transitioning now from active running into coaching and mentoring. Mm-hmm. She's got her own athletics club now, called Masai Athletics Club.
Lovely.
Where they are working with some of the top up-and-coming and established athletes out there. Mm-hmm. Leandro Tawa is one of them, who won the Spire race in Cape Town over the weekend.
For sure.
And many others that are coming through. So it's good in that space. It's just a pity that Kata doesn't work with Prudence, because, I mean, Prudence has got a coach elsewhere, but nonetheless, she believes that she's definitely one for the future.
Yeah.
And then coming back to the star of the week.
SA
under 17 side, to call them Amajimbos. Mm. A good start at AFCON under 17. Tournament football demands that.
Yeah.
You have to win your first game. I was not entirely happy with the way they played. I think the way they conceded goals, they were very sloppy at the back. Our goalkeeper also not quite having the best of games. But I'm sure they can build on this. I mean, 7-goal thriller is a very good game.
Yeah.
This kid, Vet Boy, he's something else.
I'm told everyone. And what I love about it is that even the senior footballers, and not particularly from his club, but be it Pirates, Kaizer Chiefs, they're all saying that this is a generational talent that we have.
Now, when I was in Cape Town over the weekend, I spent some time with Mark Mayambela, who coaches him at Cape Town City with the kids. He says he has never seen anything like that in his life. You know, this is something. I'm told Chelsea are seriously monitoring the boy. And, you know,
big
so...
Big club.
We may lose him to Chelsea in the coming months. I hope the deal materializes. He will be going in the higher level. But yeah, under 17, especially Vet Boy, my star of the week.
All right, and on that note, normally I'd have to go with motorsport, but I decided to change it up a little bit today. A little bit of a switch. Okay. I mean, you know, the thing is, so you know I also follow MotoGP, right?
Yeah.
Fabio Quartararo, he had an up and down weekend, really, where quali was absolutely nowhere, but then in the sprint, then you see him. So I wasn't happy how he was not consistent throughout the weekend. Marc Marquez also, race day was absolutely horrendous for him. So my usual stars did not do well in
the MotoGP. They let you down.
Really broke my heart. But we do have Formula One this week, so hopefully looking forward to seeing what will be happening in Japan. But it's a footballer, a local footballer, that is, Sipesi Hlendlovu, who actually we've had on the show before as well. So really impressed by his performance. I mean, he also got the man of the match accolade against Cape Town City. And I mean, for me with Sipesi Hlendlovu, it's just... he might not make a lot of noise, but he's there, and he will fight for the team, which I'm absolutely impressed by that. So I just need more consistency and for him to keep on showing up. But in this game, I was really, really impressed by him. And on that note, before we get to talk, of course, South African football, I did mention Formula One, Japanese Grand Prix. Let's find out what Tswelo Mohapi, who is a Formula One enthusiast, has to say as she previews this coming race weekend.
It's race weekend this week. Formula One is at one of the most legendary circuits, the Suzuka International Racing Course. Now, this is a track that really pushes the limits of drivers, and with Ferrari trying to make a comeback from that double disqualification, with McLaren trying to assert their dominance this season, and the Red Bull driver shakeup, we are in for quite a treat. Suzuka is one of the most challenging circuits on the F1 calendar, known for its figure eight layout and its high speed technical sections. This track requires precision balance on a car that can handle a lethal workload. Now let's look at some of the drivers that we should be paying attention to for this upcoming weekend. First up, it goes without saying that the two McLaren drivers are within our island. Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris have been built a rocket ship. It almost feels like we've stepped out of the Red Bull dominance straight into the McLaren dominance. And without the papaya rules, we get to see them compete to be the lead McLaren each week, and that is completely amazing. So the previous week, it looked like Lando kind of fell off. We want to see if he's going to make his comeback this weekend, and Oscar's not going to make it easy for him. The third driver we should be focusing on is Lewis Hamilton. He has 7 victories at this circuit. Of course, it's a circuit that he's mastered, and he understands how to win at the circuit. Only if Ferrari will get that set up correctly and don't mess up the strategy, they could be there. Both Ferraris could be there in the front fighting for a good result. Moving along to a driver that has been moving so swiftly under the radar this season, George Russell in that Mercedes. That Mercedes seems to be very much unpredictable. But looking at this race, considering how tricky this track is going to be, we want to see if he's still going to be able to be producing the same good results, because it looks like the pace is there. But the ultimate driver to look out for this race weekend, and not just because it's his home race, is Yuki Tsunoda. He has just been given his well-deserved promotion. And the main question here is he going to be able to break that second Red Bull seat curse? Like, is he going to be able to extract as much as Max is extracting from the car? Is he going to be able to bring competition to Max? Because Max really hasn't been in a strong driver pairing since Daniel Ricciardo. So is Yuki going to be able to do it? Lord, we pray he does, because we want him to succeed so badly. Moving along to the rookies. Now, this year's rookies came out swinging. They are on a whole other level, out qualifying their teammates, out scoring their teammates. They are really doing an amazing job. But the two rookies that I think people should be looking out for this weekend, aside from Kimi Antonelli, are Ollie Bearman. He had an amazing run at the Chinese Grand Prix from P17 to P6. And Isaac, he has been doing wonders in that racing bowl. So those are the two rookies that people should be looking out for. Overall, I'm excited to see rookies versus experience, because Suzuka is a track that rewards confidence and precision. And I'm excited to see how rookies are going to handle a track that is also sometimes very tricky for the veterans. Not only that, but Suzuka has very unpredictable weather. 1 minute it's pouring, 1 minute it is dry. And I'm just excited to see how teams and drivers are going to handle that, from tire management to strategy. This track is all about downforce and tire wear, and a car with good aerodynamics will shine through. And if it rains, we are up for quite an unpredictable podium. So I would advise you to set that alarm, grab the popcorn, because it is going to be quite a race.
Well, great to see all the Formula One enthusiasts quite excited, of course, about the Japanese Grand Prix. And of course, it is an early wake-up call time, but we'll definitely get through that. Well, talking all things South African football influencer, I mean, we might as well start with what the crisis might be currently in South African football. I mean, when we started off the show, be it beginning of the year, last year, we alluded to the fact that Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates doing well, the big clubs doing well, is good for the economy. What else is it good for? It's good for selling out, of course, stadiums. But with the dip that Kaizer Chiefs currently has had, that has also taken quite the dip on the sold-out affairs. I mean, 10 defeats in 30 games is what we've seen so far from Amakhosi. And I mean, I'm always interested, influencer, in terms of the centre-backs. Like, I always draw so much pleasure. And, I mean, you could start with the big clubs, but I think when you go to the likes of Stellenbosch or Thabo Moyilisano, who is, we're seeing him there, you see him, the likes of course, Ishmael Toure alongside him, you go to Polokwane City, where there is a Nikani and Nkaki there, and they are quite impressive. And then when you go to Kaizer Chiefs, who impresses you in that back line? When you think center backs, safe hands, who do you trust?
Yeah, I think you have mentioned, I've always been a fan of Thabo Moyilisano, I think.
Oh, he's class,
He's probably due now to a big move, to a bigger club, you know, with all respect to Stellenbosch, but you know. He has been consistent. Toure also has been. For me, Toure last season was the, probably should have been nominated for the Gold Defender of the season.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know who was choosing that one.
How? I thought you would know. No, aren't you normally part of the panel?
No, but I was choosing something else.
Oh, okay, that was not you.
No.
Okay, got it.
yeah, defenders at Chiefs, Doughty started very well.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I think he's injured now. That's why he missed the two of the matches. I think he's been good. The currency these days for defenders is also left-footed centre backs, which you know. He covers that that area very well. He has been good. This Angolan guy, Miguel, started off well.
And now
he has sort of just dropped, you know. But I guess
also his decision making now.
Yeah, sometimes he's found wanting. He's the same as this Sundowns guy, Suarez. He's got lots of mistakes for a senior player, somebody who's played at the highest level. You know, also left with a center back, and if he does those things in the Champions League, you know, they will punish him. But going back to Chiefs, it was very strange that they sold Titi. He left, he opens a big gap there. But yeah, and the reason that they've conceded so many goals is because, you know, the defense has not been good, but also it's not just the defense when it comes to Chiefs. I think
The entire system
is just, it's not functioning properly. The the coach is under a lot of pressure now. I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. I have a sense that if this guy does not win...
Probably, but just to throw a bone into this, right? No, it's not a spanner, but it's just like looking into really the history of what really happens and what you need to be successful. You can have your own technical team and you can bring them influencer, right? But at the end of the day, you do need a local. And as much as we see it also here at home, Coach Peter Musimane, when he travels with his people, you travel with your people, but you will also need someone from...
local, yeah.
Exactly, from where you're going to be a part of the team. You need to win that person over. So for me right now, and I mean, you see it at Pirates, it works. Having Mangalangazi there is also a benefit for Jose Rivera. You go into...
Sundowns.
Brastive is there. So it's just for me, and it's not a Nabi thing, and it's just the entire team, the decision not to have a local there, I feel that's a big blow for them.
Yeah, that may be a contributing factor, but also sometimes these locals, they kill you, eh?
Oh, good. Man, that's how you get the good one.
Yeah, you need to find the right
one. Don't get a disgruntled one.
If you find a local guy who, when you are talking there, then in the corners he's telling you something else, it doesn't work. But
I've heard,
you need to have local. And also, if you are a foreigner coming from wherever you're coming from going in, you really need to have a very good understanding of how to deal with local players.
And how you speak to them as well.
And how you speak to them. And if you have got a local, they can be able to tell on that one is very emotional. It is how you treat him. That one. So, and the Chiefs, I don't know if they have that. I don't know who is a buffer between the players and the coach. So you need that. You need somebody who can sort of be a link between the players and the coach. Also, you need a strong team manager. You need a strong... technical director. There's always been question about Kaizer Junior as to whether is he experienced enough for that role. That's a discussion for another day. Team manager, I just don't know who's the team manager. Oh, it's Sibeko, I think. He has been at the job for a very, very long time. He should know team dynamics and he should know the players that are there. I don't know how much influence he has. In the technical meetings, how sort of feedback does he give to the coaches? Sometimes all the foreign coaches kill themselves in a way that when they come here, they sort of don't want to listen to anybody. They just want to do their own thing.
They
don't have enough information as to what are the local dynamics. So it can be a very complex situation which needs a delicate balancing act. And, with the benefit of hindsight now, what we know. Clearly, some of the things that are really, really not working.
So, as you're speaking, I'm reminded also of what we always speak about when we've had former captains here, the likes of Happy Jele, Flopokikana, Lucky Lihwati. When you speak of seniority, Kaizer Chiefs is lacking that currently. Yeah. I mean, if an armband is going to go to Yusuf Mott, and no disrespect to Yusuf, but he also recently just got to Kaizer Chiefs. Yeah. He hasn't been there for a very long time. So that shows you that there is a lack of leadership as well in the field of play.
Yeah. I remember, I think, the last time Chiefs really did well under Baxter, you had Kunye, you had Matoho, you had, I don't know, Gould, Morgan Gould must have been there, Mashamaite, you had Katsande, or you had, Parker. That's the leadership group.
Exactly.
That's very, very, it's a very, very powerful leadership group. These are guys with experience, have been there. You look at Chiefs now, really, Miguel is new in the country, is new at the club. I know sometimes he gets the armband, but mostly it's people who really don't have experience. And also, just maybe, I don't really can't claim to know them, their personalities that well, but looking from a distance, I don't think you have got people with very, very strong personalities. Guys who, when something's wrong, they can shout and galvanize everybody and push. You feel that it's lacking. And also, you've got a lot of young players coming through. A lot of young players need a lot of
they
guidance.
They need that, yeah. Someone to look up to and be like, yeah. you've done that.
You know, so yeah. I think it's a big challenge for them. I mean, I've been impressed with Tabotkela. I think it's a good addition.
Oh, yes.
He's a very, very good footballer. But, you know, when you, regardless of how good you are, when you go into an environment which is not that good, you can be sucked up into that level of mediocrity.
Mm.
And they really need to do a lot of soul searching during the transfer window. I think they need to start planning for next season already now.
Yeah.
Because this is finished. You must just make sure that you finish as they can.
For sure.
They can still finish third, but it's not going to be easy because the guys that are on top of them are really, really pushing. So it's going to be very difficult. And I mean, it's a real pity. I was with a Chiefs legend the other day, Gardner Siyaland.
Mm-hmm.
People who won trophies for Chiefs back in the day. And also, he just really painted a very picture of what that club has become. In South Africa, it used to be Chiefs, Chiefs Pirates. Sundowns came through, and you know, now it's just Sundowns. I know Pirates win a cup here and there, but in terms of the consistency in the league, really Sundowns. I mean, if the people can win the league for 7 times in a row, it paints a very bleak picture of what's happening elsewhere. You know, so yeah. Apart for Chiefs, I wish they turned it around. As to when, I really don't know. But things are really not looking good for them right now.
Not at all. On that note, I'm going to let you into a conversation with a friend of mine. One time, randomly so, my friend decides to drop me a text and say, Chloe, how old were you the last time Orlando Pirates won a league title? And I'm like,
okay, you tell us now.
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, you see, that's the other thing. Actually, if you look at the two teams, Chiefs were the last ones to win the league. Then Pirates is even longer, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but for some reason, because Pirates, you know, every season they win a cup here and there, they don't get as much stick as Chiefs get.
Yeah.
But if we really, really have to be honest, Pirates in terms of consistency of league, they've been as poor as Chiefs. So, you know, it's been a long time since they won a league. And worldwide, it's unacceptable for a big club like Pirates to go this long without winning a cup. You can win all the cups and all those things, but you really need to win the league. And if you ask any player worth his salt or worth their salt, well, they all love to win. They all want to win the league. You want to win the Champions League. And then with the national team, you want to win the World Cup. So there are how many players have been at Pirates and they've been there, they left without winning a league. You don't want to be a footballer who has played football for like 6, 7 years and you've never won the league.
No, that would be a tragedy in your career. Enough, yeah. But on that note, so you've touched on Kaizer Chiefs and what they potentially need to work on and the mess that they have. Orlando Pirates.
Mm.
What do they need to work on? And I ask this because you've got two halves of Orlando Pirates in terms of the first round of the season.
Yeah.
All cylinders, they're firing, they're working. And then the second half of the season, that's where now there's a bit of a dip.
Mm. I must say, there was a time, maybe first 15 matches, I was really, really tempted to say Pirates will win the league.
Yeah, I think everyone was.
As the cliche goes, they went off like a house on fire.
Yeah.
They started off very well. They were consistent. They were scoring goals. They were playing well. And, you know, they looked like they will really, really finally end Sundowns' dominance. But they've gone flat. And them going flat coincided with the story of Monapule and Saling. Coincided with the loss of form of the young man, Relebohile Mofokeng.
I think the injury of Olisa and Olisa Sisani as well.
Injury and Sisani. Yeah. So they've had problems. And those things also talks to depth now. Mm. If Olisander goes down, you must replace like for like. And I don't think they quite did that. Even though Sesani came through. Mm. But, you know, is he really the same quality and that kind of thing? Experience enough and all those things. He's injured again now.
Mm.
Even though Kloki has always been there, CBC has always been there. Goalkeeping-wise, I think they're fine. Chaini will grow to become a very good goalkeeper. In the midfield, also, I think you saw with that Sundowns game at Loftus.
Mm.
Talent was not there and then the whole thing collapsed. Makaule has been good. But they've just really lacked consistency in the league. You know, the league, you need to be consistent over a 30-game period, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
I was been pleasantly surprised with how they played in the Champions League. That's where I feared for the West for them.
You were like, no, forget
I didn't give them much of a chance in the Champions League, knowing how difficult Champions League can be.
Yeah.
But Champions League, sometimes if you navigate it properly, I mean, Chiefs went to a final not so long ago, you know.
I don't think
they even know how they got there, but anyway.
You can do it. Yeah.
And I mean, looking at the how the draw has panned out for the knockout stages,
yeah.
Pirates can get to the final.
I think they will as well. Yeah, and I mean, they do enjoy cup games. So.
Yeah, they're very good at this knockout
game, yes.
But in the league, it's just, I don't know.
They'll get it right.
Yeah, well, hopefully they do. But now the problem for Pirates, you know, if the coach leaves, if Rele leaves, I don't know.
Oh my goodness, I don't like your tone. But you speak consistency, and it's not only Orlando Pirates that struggles with consistency in terms of the league. You also look at how Mamelodi Sundowns, they actually also started out quite flat because of also the technical changes on their side. You look at a Polokwane City that started off well, but now they also going into a little bit of a dip, and you're just like, oh man, they had that such a great start, and you're hoping that they could really, really keep at it. So it does show that the league and consistency, It's a marathon, and it just doesn't happen over 15 games. But on that note, let's go to the bottom of the table. We have a SuperSport United and a Cape Town City. And I don't know how I'd explain that to my five-year-old child as to what is SuperSport and Cape Town City doing at the bottom of the league currently, Influenza.
Yeah, before I go there, I think Sundowns traditionally have been a team that starts slow, even with Coach Pizzo. They don't just sort of blow the lights off immediately. They're like a truck, you know, on the highway, start slowly, and then when it hits 120, 140, we are moving, you know. So that's how they've always been. And I think for this year also, this season, they were not helped by the changes. Coach Ulane left, and then Coach Montgomery took over, and things didn't quite go as well as they'd hoped from the management's perspective.
Yeah.
Coach Montgomery left, and then Miguel Cardoso came through, and also he had his own wobbles, but now they are in the league. They are a well-oiled machine now, and they hardly lose matches. They scored not so long ago in December. They were scoring 4x4s, you know. So that's how Sundowns rolls, you know. So I've said it a few weeks ago that they will be crowned champions. There's no story. There's no worries there. The only thing for them is the Champions League. I think I'm just not sure if they'll be able to win the Champions League. They need to go over this mental block of Esperance. It's a very, very strong team. Let's see how they do against them over the two legs. Champions League, I don't know. But for the league, they can take that thing to the Lord is done.
Can we go to the bottom of the log, please?
Going to the bottom of the log? yes. Yeah, well, I mean, it's unexplainable how somehow SuperSport found themselves and Cape Town City. SuperSport... you know, Coach Gavin Hunt always talk about the young stars, and I'm giving. But that team is very experienced, eh?
It is.
It's very experienced. I mean, you know, you've got Tyson, you've got Pule, you've got the midfielder you are talking about now.
Especially
as well. You've got Juga Manja. You've got. I mean, it's an experienced team.
Yeah.
Mavoya joined them from Sundowns on loan.
Bradley as well.
Bradley is a veteran. He's back now. He's playing again. So it's a team with lots of experience. It's a sprinkle of young players here and there. I just don't know why. But I guess, you know, they took a right decision by getting rid of Coach Kevin Hunt.
You think so?
If it's not working, it's not working. Sometimes. Sure. And it wasn't working, really, let's be honest. You know. I've got a lot of respect for Coach Kevin Hunt. There's been this never-ending talk about whether his football has left him behind. I don't really agree. I think he just got to a point where maybe the players weren't responding. Sometimes also, if you stay too long at a place, you know, you sort of maybe... lack that hunger and motivation to do more. I know he's a professional guy and he wouldn't down tools and stuff, but something was just not working, and you have to act. And I think the management did well by acting. They've played their first match without him, with the coach Andre Arense. They drew over the weekend. Not much of a difference in terms of approach. You can see the Gavin Hunt stuff still there. But of course, we have got to give coach Andre a chance to do his own thing. And by the way, I was saying to someone that the way coach Andre got the opportunity to coach SuperSport is the way that coach Pizzo coached SuperSport back in the day. And knowing what we know now. So he may be the savior.
You're hinting it, yeah.
I think now they mustn't really be too complicated about stuff. Just do enough to get out of that position, get into the top eight, finish the season. Players must go on a rest. The management must get them, get new players, those who are coming, those who are leaving, go to pre-season and prepare for next season. They must just stop about these things of top three and whatever. Finish the fight for top eight. And then that is the same thing that must happen to Cape Town City. Another good team.
Very good team. Good players.
They always have all these players that are there. You know, experience, Gaudino. They've just signed Krim now, Tilano Serrero. They've got the players, you know.
Makaringe is there.
Makaringe
as well.
Is there, yeah. You know. So Thabo Nodada is there. That guy, the right back, the captain is there, Mkhize.
Yes.
It's a team that is also settled. But sometimes you just don't get the results. I was a bit surprised when they hired coach Mushine Tugral for somebody who has been out of like the day-to-day hustle of coaching. He's a good coach.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
When do you think it's going to be the right time to give Manyama a chance?
You'll need to be brave. You'll be brave. Give him pre-season. Consult him with the players that are coming in and going. I know the club owners in South Africa don't give your coach the room to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But consult with the guy. And, you know, you'll never know with these things. He has been around for a while now.
And he knows the club.
And he knows the club. He played for the club. He's been on the bench now with Eric Tingler and all these other coaches.
Yeah.
And he looks like he wants to do this thing. But you have to be very, very brave. Because...
Oh, he's another one that's been on the show.
Yeah, he's been on the show, because if something goes wrong, you may create a situation whereby you kill him so early in his career. And that.
That's how I feel about it also. You know. Like, a part of me is like, I'd like for him to get a chance. At the same time, I don't want his career to like end where it's just... starting off, so
unless he's amenable to say, okay, if things doesn't go well, you come back and become an assistant.
Yeah.
But now also, why do you want to bring an assistant of somebody who has just so it's a bit tricky when it comes to young coaches. But
okay,
we should give them a chance to show what they can do. But you know, I mean, it's very tough out there.
Yeah.
Very tough. But I mean, Putin Mavi is doing it for my guy. He's doing it for Polokwane City.
Yeah.
But of course, Polokwane City, you know, is known as a middle of the table team. Cape Town City, they've got ambitions of playing CAF football and all those kinds of things. Maybe it's not quite the same, but you know, I disagree.
Okay.
At some stage, he needs to be given a chance.
All right, so we've run out of time, but because
so
I'm
early.
I'm also shocked as well. It was like we just started,
yeah, I'm
right?
Sure, let's do 5 more minutes or 10. I'm sure we can.
Can we?
Yeah. He's saying okay.
He says okay. All right, fantastic. I also then want to find out player of the season because we've also had the dips that we talk about.
Yeah.
We've seen it where players start well. A player from the top of my mind, Mabasa of Orlando Pirates, started off well, and you thought, man, contention. And then there are dips. But now, I know you said Ribeiro is your number one. It's clear, sharp. Mother, let's do a top five. Currently, in what you've seen, who are your top five contenders of player of the season?
Top five, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Not in any particular order. I think we can safely go with Makaula at Pirates.
Yeah.
I've been impressed with it.
Yeah, Marrakesh is smooth, eh?
I recently gave an example with Real Madrid back in the day, the Galacticos era.
Yeah.
They had all these big players, Zidane, Ronaldo, Figo, you name them. But the man who made them tick was Claude Makélélé, number classics. Mm-hmm. And Claude left to Chelsea and then everything collapsed, you know. Yeah. So it shows you the significance of having a strong holding central midfielder. The guy who carries the water for everybody.
And I mean also when your backline changes as much as it's changed for Orlando Pirates, because he also helps to protect them as well.
Yeah, so I think for me, it will be a travesty if...
he's not nominated.
He's not nominated for the Player of the Season. He has been solid. I know a lot of people focus on Rayleigh and what. But for me, the guy who really... I can safely say, probably when Jose put the team list, Chaidi and Makaule are number one on that list.
Where's Hotto in your list? Because Hotto has also been just as good.
Hotto has had a good first half of the season.
Yeah.
He's also been a key player for them. You know, he's somebody who also has caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Rayleigh also had a good start, but he dipped. So he wouldn't really necessarily make my list.
He wouldn't? The president of AMA 2000?
For Pirates, if Pirates, my number one guy will be Makaula.
Sure.
And if I go elsewhere, at Sundowns, obviously Ribeiro has been very good for them.
Yeah.
Started off well, dipped a little bit, and then came back again.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an all-round fantastic footballer. He's a guy who...
And lovely to watch on top of that.
You'll play your last money to go and watch you play football.
Yeah.
In the second round now, I've been very, very impressed with Jaden Adams.
Oh, yeah.
I think as South Africans, we've got something special there. He's a very, very good player, this boy.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched him over and over again, and he's one of those players you don't see. You really need to look very closely to you, see.
Mm.
And he's a very quiet guy. He goes about his business very quietly and all that. I've also...
That's three, right?
Yes. Okay. I go to Skukune. Mahal has been very good.
Oh, yes. 100%. Mahal
has been very good. 100%. Lots of assists. He doesn't score as much, which is a little bit of a downer for me. But he has had a very good season. When he left Sundowns, I think he was in the first division, and a lot of people must have felt that, no, he's finished. But he has come back strong. Stellenbosch, there's two guys who have caught my eye. Devin Titus.
You're going to six now. Okay.
Devin Titus has been good for them. I'm just sort of putting in the names of players that have caught my eye.
Yeah.
Devin Titus and Muleisane, very, very solid.
You know, I would really love, and no disrespect to the playmakers, the players that have Awoshugela, and they're lovely to watch. Mara, for a defender to win player of the season would be nice. Because you look at Atabo last season as well.
He was
crucial. Solid, yeah. Yes. We cry about consistency.
Yeah.
We're seeing it from Thabo at Stellies.
Yeah. He was even last season.
Yeah.
It was for me. I remember I did pick him as one of the best players of last season.
Okay. Six is fine.
Yeah, six is fine. But if you were to say to me, I said number one, number two, my number one will be Ribeiro, mm-hmm. and number two will be Cash.
Cash. All right. We've officially run out of time, but I'm interested in also coach of the season. I just want three here.
My a lot of people have disagreed with me on the coach of the season, but I've always felt the coach of the season must be the guy who wins the league. This staff of,
that guy.
Yeah, I think the guy who wins the league must be winning the coach of the season. I mean...
On that note, thank you. You don't have to elaborate. You let us know what you think. Do you agree with the influencer on that one or not? I'm part of the people that I don't entirely agree with him, but it's fine. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. That's how we're wrapping up our two-man show. That's it. So that is it. We've done it. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, is happy what?
Happy
60th episode.
Happy 60th episode. I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. And then the guy who went to buy confetti is not yet back.
Still not back. And we tried to buy the man time. We'll try and get this right on the next milestone.
Yeah, 100.
On the 100th one?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for allowing us to be in your space. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate your time that you take, of course, to spend time with us and listen to us and engage, of course, and throw in questions here and there. We really do appreciate you. Have yourself a fantastic week. And of course, we'll see you in the next episode from us. It's cheers. Goodbye.